appreciate you both.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. It's good to see each and every one of you here. I was thinking whenever they came in that 25 years ago I was in that group. We came quite often, but we would we'd get on that little red bus and we'd be crowded in there with a couple guitars and mandolin, and we would sing all the way down here, and sometimes we'd sing all the way home. That was some fun times. Enjoying our salvation, you know that? That's what we was doing. And we'd come down here and be with whoever was in revival. A lot of times we'd just come to support them sometimes on a Sunday night. And you know, it's a beautiful thing to see that even all the years later, it's of course now y'all, we've all got families. And but it's good to see you here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you made the effort to be with us tonight. Tonight we're going to be reading, I'm going to look in Psalm chapter 49, and we'll read some verses there. Move that mic here. I'm going to mess with it, Psalm. I tend to fidget with things. Psalm chapter 49. After we read here in Psalm 49, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. But we're going to read here in Psalm 49 first. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, or costly, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This, their way, is their folly. Yet their prosperity approved their sayings. All right, now we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read them. Verse there. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for how you've met with us in the service. And Father, you see the thoughts you've given me, Lord. And in myself, they're nothing, Lord. But I ask, Father, that you would season them with your Holy Spirit. Father, that they would go forth and find lodgment in hearts. Father, that they would be what we stand in need of this very hour. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So What our title is going to be tonight, drawing from verse 26, where it says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And as you read, as we read over in Psalms, that it says that a man's soul is precious. So our title tonight will be is, "What is the value of a soul?" Now, many things in life, every one of us has something that we esteem very valuable.
Sure.
Maybe it's something that was passed down from generation to generation, and it might not mean anything to most people, but to us individually, it is something precious to us. It's valuable to us. I have a pocket knife that whenever I was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, crawling around, walking around my grandmother and grandfather's house in the yard there, and I found a knife laying in the yard, and my grandfather said he was going to give it to me. So when I got older, he gave me the knife, and it was a knife. It's called a Schrade Walden is what it was called. They don't even make it anymore now. They're just called Schrade, a Schrade cutlery or Schrade knife. But whenever I got the knife and I decided I would start taking care of it and cleaning it, and I used to carry it everywhere with me until I went one day into a pawn shop, and I saw the guy had a big case full of these knives, and some of them even more than $1,000 for, and I was shocked because it was just a pocket knife to me, you know, but it had more value because of the maker who made it, yeah, and that they weren't made anymore. But you know, as valuable as that knife is to me, my soul is far more valuable to me. And all of us should look at our soul as the most valuable piece of real estate that we have. Because it is actually the only thing that you own.
Amen.
It's the only thing you own. It's the only thing that you have that is yours 100%.
That's right.
I was telling the ones in Jamaica when we was down there that my grandmother had in her mind that her house, when she died, everything was going to stay the same. You know, and she decided that, you know, that she didn't want to divide anything up. It just was going to stay. And all the family all came together. And I told them that she wasn't even cold yet. And the family went in, and a lot of the family just went in and took stuff. Well, she didn't have no idea that was going to happen. But that's the way things are. Things are things. And a lot of times we put value on things that is improper. You know, we put improper value on things. We think of things as really valuable to us. And we also look at it as being really valuable to other people around us, when in reality, value is in our eyes. Right? It's in our eyes. But we need to look at some people. There's some people in the Bible that put an improper value on their soul.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, friends, tonight, if we're not careful, we can do the exact same thing.
Amen.
I tell you, there is a real danger of putting an improper value on our soul.
Amen.
Like I said, our soul is the most important thing we have, the most precious Amen. Thing that we have.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at Luke. If you have your Bible, I trust you have your Bible with you to turn over. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12. This is in starting at verse 13. It talks about a parable of a rich fool or a farmer, a rich farmer. And actually, what the man did was, if he'd have done it properly, it was actually a wise thing that he was going to do. But it's what he did, it's the statements that he made, and we're going to read that. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divided the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the thing which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I tell you, that as a businessman, that's a very wise decision to make. You know that you want to have a bountiful crop. You want to have a good harvest. At the end of your fiscal year, you want to have profit. And you want to have something that you can do with that. And his profit was his crop. And so he said, I'll tear the barns down and I'll store it. And that way I'll have some stored up for later. And that's all good. That's a wise thing to do. That's actually thinking, that's planning ahead, right? You would think that's planning for the future.
Right.
But here we see something that he did. He made a statement here that it turned foolish real fast. And he said, I will say to my soul.
Yes.
And so whenever he said that, I will say to my soul, what he did is he took something that was corruptible and this world's goods, that was the all the riches he had of the world's good to redeem his soul, his eternity-bound soul. And it can't be purchased with money.
Amen.
And he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, maybe God had been speaking to him. Maybe God had been speaking to his heart. We don't know that. But we see here that he felt like that the goods that he had was good enough. Right? He felt it was good enough to redeem his soul.
Right.
That's what he was looking at. Thou hast much goods laid up. Huh? Eat, drink, and take thine ease.
Yep.
Yes. But what did God say? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things which thou hast provided? And the Bible goes on to say, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we see what he did is he was thinking about the corruptible things and redeeming his soul with corruptible things. When you can't redeem your soul with corruptible things. But we see here that he put an improper value. He likened his soul to those goods that he had.
Right.
Yes, that's the value he put on his soul. And we don't think about that, but I'll tell you what, there's people in this world today that are putting value like that on their soul.
Amen.
There are people tonight that are putting that same value on their soul. There are people that are putting the value of drugs on their soul. Yeah, even knowing that it's destroying their life. They know that it's going to destroy their life. They know that it's going to end in lung failure, kidney failure. It's going to end in a horrible disease, and yet they still don't give God heed. Many times God speaks to their heart, and they play it off. I'm not ready. No, they're thinking about the value of their soul is what they have in front of them.
Amen.
And it's not just drugs. No, there's people that sell their soul for a vehicle. People sell their soul for a job. People sell their soul for a career. And all those people, they put an improper value on their soul.
That's right.
And what a sad thing it is. You ever just stand and watch people? Huh? You ever just stand and watch people?
Sure.
Sometimes I'll pull up to a light and I'll just sit there while that light is red and I'll watch people. You watch people. There's some people, if you see them walking on the street, there's some that walk like they have a place they're going, and there's some that meander like they're really not going anywhere. You see people driving, you see all kind of drivers. You see people that are driving are really paying attention, and you see some that's distracted, and you don't know how in the world they can even move that vehicle.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, you watch people. People, every person has assigned a value to their soul. Everyone in here tonight, every one of us, without exception, has assigned a value to our soul tonight.
Amen.
Every one of us. I didn't say every one of us was saved. I didn't say you were sinners. I'm saying that every one of us has assigned a value to our soul.
Amen.
And sometimes we don't even think about that.
Right.
We don't even think about the value we have assigned to our soul. And many times people sell really cheap.
Yeah.
People sell cheap. Amen. We think about the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man, it says he fared sumptuously. But you know what? It says that in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. Yeah. Being in torment. And he called on the Lord. He said, Father Abraham. You know, he wanted him to go warn his brother. So we see from that statement that he knew. He knew that his soul was eternity bound. He knew that he needed to shun hell. He knew that he had family that would, could possibly end up there. And that's what his discern was. But what did he do? He waited too late.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid, friends, that people, a lot of times today, people have an intention. They really feel like their soul is valuable. And they feel like that they want to make heaven their home. But so many times they spurn the invitation. They put it off and they put it off and they put it off. And perhaps that's what he did. You know what? Perhaps he thought, well, I have plenty of time. You know, a lot of people think that. Perhaps I have plenty of time. You know that? But tragedy happens. Life happens. I said the other night, life happens. And we don't have control over life. I can't help but think about what happened with the Key Bridge. Those men working. Out there working a shift. Huh?
Right.
A shift in possibly the safest time.
Right,
the safest time. That's why they was working at night. The least expected thing happened. They normally would be looking for traffic, watching for traffic. Someone driving through too fast and run over them.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens all the time. Workers in work zones.
Yep.
They get killed. But how many of them, when they sat in their vehicle, said a boat's going to hit the bridge tonight and we're going to die? None of them. They sat in their vehicle to take their lunch. And that's where they died. That's where they left this world. Did they know that was going to happen? No, they didn't know that.
No,
we don't even know. Amen. And that's why we need to pay attention to our eternity-bound souls and the value that we have assigned to our soul.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said, many times we put improper value on it. The deception of Satan is that worldly gain or monetary gain or getting wealth and riches is the way to go. You know that there? You know that there is that makes reparations for your soul. But Satan is a liar.
Amen.
Amen. We see whenever Abraham and Lot, when they parted, Abraham, he told Lot, he said, you choose. And Lot chose the well-watered plain. So you would think that Lot would have been in better shape. But the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom.
That's right.
Amen. And I'll tell you tonight, saints, if we're not careful, we'll pitch our tent towards Sodom.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is our family likes to go on camping trips. We like to go camping. And whenever we would camp, usually everybody would set their tents up where the front door of the tent, when you get up in the morning, you're seeing everybody else, all the other tents. They all face each other. Well, whenever I go camping with the family, I set mine up so it faces the woods. I like to see nature when I get up. You know, but you pitch your tent towards what is appealing to you.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things in this world that are appealing, but we have no business as children of God. We have no business pitching our tent toward. Because I tell you what, it has a way of destroying you. Amen. We think about Lot, and he ended up in the city, right in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had, I would dare say, he had no idea that's where he would end up. But when you pitch your tent that way, and when it starts to be appealing to you, you will do things that you did not think you would do. And I'll tell you, I meditated on this before. How many times I wonder, I've thought about this and thought about it. I wonder, why? You ever wonder why whenever Abraham was talking with the Lord to get the number, and he got the number all the way down to 10. You ever wonder why he stopped at 10? Because he could have went down and said 4. The Lord was being merciful with him, right? The Lord was listening to him. And I've meditated on that. Perhaps we know that Lot and his wife and two daughters, but we know he had daughters and sons-in-law.
Yeah.
And in my reasoning, I think that Abraham thought perhaps there would be at least 10. At least 10. But you know what happened? They didn't listen to him. He went to warn them. God is going to destroy the city. God is going to destroy it. They laughed at him.
Yeah.
They laughed at him. And I'm sure that hurt him. But you know what? They had assigned a value to their soul. And they did not know that that night was going to be their last. But I tell you, friends, we got to be careful listening to Satan. Satan will tell us we have plenty of time. Amen. But we have a value assigned to our soul. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Satan is very cunning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He even tempted the Lord. Matthew chapter 4. I want to look at verses 8 and 9. And again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, this is Satan talking to Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now we got to stop and think about this for a minute. When we read this, it talks about the three temptations. And the Bible says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Yeah.
All right, so in order for it to have been a temptation to Jesus Christ, there had to be some appealing there to him. And the appealing thought was, is that he wanted to redeem the world for his Father. That's what he wanted to do. Was to reconcile you and I to his Father.
Right.
He wanted to pay that price. And Satan here, and what made this appealing to Christ, is that he could bypass the cross. You see, that's what Satan painted a picture there. Sure. He showed him all the world. No doubt, I mean, we think about it just happened like this, but he says he showed him all the world in a moment of time. So maybe he's seen people going to and fro. Maybe he saw some people hurting and maybe he saw some suffering and you know, maybe he saw some that was happy. And he showed him all. He said, all this will I give you. Well, it would be good in the world. But the price was wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, he even tried to assign a value to Christ's very soul.
Yeah.
That is how little he thinks of you and I tonight. That he tried to deceive even the King of Glory. Yes, it wouldn't have been a temptation for him if it wasn't something for him to consider. Amen. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. But what I want us to look at is Satan. His idea of the value of our soul was very little. And he knew that if Christ died for us, that would leave us without hope.
That's right.
But you know what? Tonight we have hope. Amen. What is the value of a soul? Amen. Like I said before, each of us have assigned a value to our soul. But to me, your soul is valuable. To you, your soul is valuable. And we agree with that. We wouldn't take time to be in a church service tonight if we didn't think our soul was valuable.
Man,
let's just be honest, right? If you didn't think there was any value to your soul, you could have found something else to do tonight. Right? I could have found something else to do. Right. But we all agree that our soul has value.
Yes, amen.
Yes, we all agree that our soul has value.
Yes,
and God sees that your soul has value. Your soul is so valuable to him that he sent his son. His only begotten Son into a sin-cursed world. Amen. To be mocked. To be made fun of. To be laughed at. To be false accused. And to live and to die on a cross. To suffer that horrible death for you. Just for you. For me. Yes, that's how much he thinks of your soul. The Bible says, I believe it's in James. Or Peter, 1 Peter. It says it can't be redeemed with monetary things, but only our soul could only be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
That's it. There's nothing else that can redeem your soul. Nothing. It don't matter how valuable you think it is. It doesn't matter how valuable you think it is. Huh? You can have all the gold in Fort Knox around you. It will not redeem your soul.
Amen.
That's right. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter when it comes down time to die. And none of those things matter. Then it's when it gets real. You know that? That's when people start to think of their soul. A lot of times, people think of their soul too late.
Yes,
they want to wait till the last minute. But the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Amen. Whenever that still small voice is talking to you and telling you, saying, I love you. I want you. I want you to be mine. Amen. That is how much God loves us.
Amen.
Not only would He send His Son to die for us, but He would send the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts.
Amen.
Yes, the Holy Spirit will come and draw us to Him. That's how much He thinks of your soul.
Yes, man.
You know that? That is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, is to draw us to Christ. That is how much He thinks of your soul.
Amen.
That is how precious your soul is to Him. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. It's not with non-corruptible things. I'm going to read that in 1 Peter because I know I've been quoting it wrong. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. It says, well, I'll read, verse 18. For as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. That is the value that God assigns to your soul.
Amen.
The precious blood of His precious Son.
Amen.
That life's blood. He spilled that life's blood. If I was the only sinner, He died for me.
Amen.
If you were the only sinner, He died for you. Amen. That is how valuable our soul is to Him. Amen. In closing, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, the writer of Hebrews asks, he makes a statement there. Hebrews chapter 2, reading in verse 1, says, therefore we are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and what it's talking about there, well, let me finish. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
And what it's talking about, it says that the word of angels were steadfast. And we know that I told you about Lot and his family there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever the angels came and took Lot and his wife and two daughters out of the city, he told them to leave because God was going to destroy the city. And he told them to get out of the plain because God's going to destroy it. And he said, told them to flee for their life. And he told them, don't look back. And most of us, probably all of us, know the story how Lot and his family, they went across the plain there. And the Bible says that the sun was risen up on Zoar. Zoar was the city of refuge that they went to. And they was getting close to the city. And the angel told him, he said, I cannot destroy the city until you've made it. I cannot destroy these cities of the plain until you've made it to the city of refuge. And so we know from that Lot and his family was right there. Right at the city of refuge. I mean, their life was pretty well spared. And we know that Lot's wife looked back. And she turned to a pillow of salt. That close. They was that close to the city that close to being spared,
amen,
that close to salvation, as she looked back and lost her life. Amen. The angel told her that would happen. And that's what it's talking about here. If the word of angels is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience, and transgression and disobedience, now we're talking about the commands of God. If every transgression that we make and disobedience in us receives a just recompense or reward, how? How do you plan to escape if we neglect salvation? Salvation is the redemption of our soul. How will you escape? How will you escape, or how will you plan to stand before God if you refuse salvation? You know, sometimes people don't even think about that. They don't even consider that thought. But really, do you have an alternative plan? You know, a lot of people, we make plans and we start preparing for a trip. And then you think about, well, what if something happens? Well, then you have an alternative plan. So what's the alternative plan? Surely we're wise people. Surely we've thought about that, thought about our soul, and thought about that there was a price that was paid, thought about that Jesus Christ came to die for us, and yet we don't want to accept that price. So what's the alternative? The truth is, there is no alternative.
Amen.
That's why you can't give me an answer. You can't even answer yourself. There is no alternative. I tell people when I preach a lot of times that you know, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.
Amen.
If you want to go to heaven, you better start preparing for it.
Amen.
But the truth is, if you want to go to hell, all you have to do is die. If you're not prepared to go to heaven, that means you're going to go to hell.
That's right.
You can't have both. You're going to have one or the other.
That's right.
So if you're not prepared to go to heaven, then all you have to do to go to hell is die. But if you're going to go to heaven, you got some preparation to do.
Amen.
Yes, it's some work involved.
Yes.
Yes, there's some things that lie ahead, some things that we need to take care of now. And one of them is redeeming the soul. Amen. Reconciling us to God.
Amen.
Amen. Going back to that message I preached the other night. That's whenever we need to ask God for forgiveness and restore that relationship with God. Amen. We need to make preparation to meet God.
Yes,
yes, we got to make preparation now, not when we're on our deathbed.
No,
that's it's a terrible time. It's a sad thing. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because it does. I've been blessed to experience that and see that happen and work. But that's not the norm. I'm telling you, that is not the norm. Most people don't even realize. They don't even realize their life is that short. Amen. I was just talking to someone the other day that a family member laid down, was healthy. They was having a few little problems, laid down, and the next morning they was dead. You know, we don't like to think about those things happening, but it happens.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you what, if we're not seeing to our soul, you know what? There's only one or two things that can happen. If we don't see to our soul now, it's going to be too late.
Amen.
You're either going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or you're going to hear, "Depart from me.
Amen.
I never knew you." But the question is, how shall you escape if you neglect salvation? How? Think about that for a minute. Think about that. How will you escape? How will you escape if you neglect your very soul? God bless you tonight.
I'd like to get a songbook, stand, turn to page 373. If there's a need in the audience, we'll give you an opportunity to come to an altar of prayer. Bringing some of the thoughts of how valuable is your soul. And you know, sometimes we can relate to some people to where they chase after things in the world and are successful. They may be very talented, they may be successful, they may be actors, singers, CEOs of companies, millionaires, doing all kinds of things. And they're trading their soul for that. They're chasing that. But you know what the majority of people are valuing their soul, they're trading their soul at? Nothing. They're not trying to achieve anything. Well, I don't want to serve God because it affects my desire to go after whatever. They're doing nothing. They're not chasing a career, they're not chasing a companion, so to speak, or something in this world. They're doing nothing. That's at the cost of the value of their soul. And you can look around at people's lives of how they live. They have no concern for their own natural self, let alone care for their soul. So this evening, as they brought the message here, God knows what's on your heart. God knows what's in your desire. And He wants to give you a desire to serve Him. He wants you to see the value that Jesus Christ paid for your soul. He paid for your soul. And that's what He wants you to understand. So as we sing these last two verses, I trust that you're here this evening, that God talked to your heart in some way. Just dealt with your mind, your heart, your conscience, work with you, let you know, this is really what I need. I need to be serving God. We trust that God dealt with you. Don't turn Him away. Don't send Him away. So as we sing verse 3 and 4, that's what this altar is here for. You feel God dealing with you, you can come to an altar. We'll pray with you. Whatever need you may have, that God can bless you. Verse 3.
Give me every hour. Enjoy your pain. Come quick. Thank you.
maybe seated for just a moment. Touch her, you can heal her, yes. For your glory and for your praise, dear Heavenly Father.
Yes,
as she come forward, dear Lord, and she asks to be anointed with oil, as the Word of God teaches us, dear Lord. Is there any sick among you, dear Heavenly Father? Let her call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, and pray the prayer of faith, dear Lord, and they shall be healed.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we see in the Word of God many a times where people sought you, dear Heavenly Father, and you didn't turn one away.
Thank you, Lord. You
healed every single one of them, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, the Word of God says that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe you're still a powerful and mighty God.
Dear
Heavenly Father, we ask you to touch Sister Jody. Heal her, dear Heavenly Father, that she'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor.
Yes,
and that we'll rejoice along with her and be able to enjoy the blessings that she's received because of your goodness to us.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. Again, we certainly appreciate each one that pressed out this evening, from local to far away. We thank the Lord. Somebody asked me today what time service was, and I had to ask them what day it was. I had to think, you know, what's the day? So tomorrow night, Saturday, it is Saturday, I assume, 6 o'clock service is in the evening, and then Sunday we'll have a 10 o'clock service and a 6 o'clock service also. So we have some snacks across the street, straight across the street, fellowship hall. Each and every one are welcome to come and have something to eat, have some fellowship, and be blessed there. If there's nothing else, we'll stand to be dismissed. And ask Brother Greg Tyler if he would dismiss us, please.